Thank you to everyone so far who's taken part in the this afternoon's meeting. It's just good to try and involve as many people as you can. It's good to try and see a bit of what the church's done, and it's great to involve the kids somehow. This is actually the part of the meeting where basically we try and get back to saying a few words with regards to what is the real meaning of Christmas. So you'll have to just stick with me just for a few minutes. But whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, whether you go to church, you don't go to church, one of the things that seems to be consensus is that Christmas can often become something other than what it should be. I mean, all the readings that we've had there this morning, all the songs that have been standing in order to sing have all been about Jesus. And we know this academically. And yet, obviously, it's good to be able to spend time just for a few minutes just to focus our own hearts and our own minds about, well, what is Christmas really all about? And whenever I was thinking, right, what will I say? How will we help one another in order to do this, just so we can leave with some sort of thought? I couldn't help but think of the film Elf. We have a tradition in our family that whenever the kids finish school and they're all let out, that we light the fire, we get a takeaway, and we watch Elf. That's like the beginning, the start of our Christmas holidays. We do it every single year, and it's kind of like, it's my wife's favourite film. And during the film, they sing a song, and it's Santa Claus is Coming to Town. You all know the song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town? So I'm going to get myself into a little trouble here with my wife. It's a favourite film, and I'm about to annihilate the film. Not really the film. The film's great, right? There's some classic parts in it. But really about that song, whenever I was listening to it on Friday there, it was describing Santa. And obviously Santa is often one of the most, if not the most exciting character that children and sometimes grown adults can get all excited about and really want to happen. I mean, you saw the video and when they were asked the question, what's the most important thing with Christmas? You saw the ones that knew what they should say, family and friends. Family and friends. Spending time with them at dinner. One of them being my own son. He's a liar. I'll give him the choice right now. You can either have Christmas dinner with your family and no presents, or you can have your presents without the family dinner. It's really, I know what he's going to say. All right? So don't believe one single word what they say. So we get excited about presents and this person that we've been told who's going to bring us presents. Don't worry if you're a parent now who's really scared what I'm about to say. I don't think I crossed the line. Okay, we'll be okay. But often this excitement and this person who we see on all the TVs and all around the billboards and all in every street corner, we kind of think that is what kind of sets our mind frame about what Christmas is all about. We get excited about the presents, the things we're going to get. So therefore, we become excited about Christmas. We know that Christmas, academically, is a religious holiday, right? We know it is, yeah? It's something to do with something to do with Jesus. So therefore, our frame of mind of wanting to get presents and what we think about Santa can shape how we think about Jesus. It can actually shape our religion about what we make it. Let me go through the words to try and explain what I'm trying to say. Like, you know, I was going to get someone to sing it, but then I won't bother. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. And I'm telling you why. Because Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out if you're naughty or nice. He sees you when you're sleeping. I'm pretty sure there's laws against that. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good. For goodness sake. See, it's an innocent enough tune. It's part of a film that we love as a family. But I want to make the point that the essence of that song is basically you're going to get what you want in life or what you want at Christmas depending on how well you've behaved. It's a reward. If you've been good enough, you're going to receive a reward. So therefore, Christmas as a whole, because this is often the focus of what Christmas is, particularly for young children, is based on a works reward system. So if I work hard enough, if I try hard enough, if I'm good enough, then basically I'm going to get what I want. But if I think I'm a bad person, if I think I haven't been good enough, if I don't think I have lived a well enough or to a good enough standard, then I'm not going to get what I want. Certainly not any presents. So as we grow up as children, and I mean all of us, because we've all been there, we learn from the earliest of ages, don't we, that our reward is based on how well you keep the rules. And that goes into all of our thinking. Because if we think Christmas, that if we think that to regard in Christmas, and we think Christmas is celebrating Jesus, then obviously that can influence how we approach religion. That in order for me to receive a reward, i.e. for me to receive what I want from God, in order for me to receive his promises that I know that he can give people, in order for me to get anything from him, now or even in the next life, we must behave ourselves. I must hold myself to a certain standard in order to get what I want from God. And we think that I can influence my standing before God. So if I act a certain way, if I do this, if I do that, maybe if I do that so many certain times, maybe if I stop this, I will raise my standing before God and somehow be accepted before him. It's all on me and how good I'm going to behave, whether I'm on the naughty list or the nice list. And I want to compare that with the truth. I want to compare that to an actual living Son of God. I want to compare that way of thinking to an historical character who was born in Bethlehem. Someone who lived a blameless life. In fact, they were that blameless that whenever they killed Jesus, they could find no wrongdoing at all. That's recorded in history. And yet he was still killed on the cross. And whenever he went into the tomb, it's recorded that the tomb was empty on the third day. So let's compare what we sing about with a person in a red suit compared to a historical character. There should be a verse that I put up there. What I want to do this, I'm going to just pick one sentence. That's 1 Peter 3, I believe. And it says this: "For Christ also suffered once for sins. The righteous," that's Jesus the perfect, "is righteous because he's perfect. For the unrighteous," that's me and you because we are not perfect. "The righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." So what does this tell us then about the truth? Well, first of all, if you looked at the very last part of that sentence, it says the purpose of why he was born in the first place. Why are we all here right now? Why are we celebrating Christmas? Jesus is born. What for? He had a mission in mind. He had a purpose. He had a focus. And that was to bring you and I to God. That's why he was born in a manger. That's why we've read the stories. He was born to achieve this. He came with a purpose because everyone here has fallen short of the glory of God. We have a holy God. And if you thought one bad thing, if you said the smallest of thing or did the smallest of deeds, whatever it may be, he's holy, we're not holy, and there's a bridge to be gapped. There's a sacrifice in order to be paid, and only Jesus, a perfect and blameless sacrifice, could bring us into a right standing before God. So did Jesus tell us to try harder? Was his message, hey, you guys need to make sure that you move from the naughty list onto the nice list? The first part of that sentence tells us exactly how it came about, how he brought us to be with God. For Christ also suffered once for sins. Jesus had to suffer. And he had to die in order for this to happen. As I said, there needed to be a perfect sacrifice. So you and I are not perfect. I know what I've been up to this year, and you know what you've been up to this year. Completely blameless? Any of you in here? No. So therefore, there needed to be someone who was perfect, who was blameless, who was holy, in order to pay the price that you and I couldn't. As I said, Jesus had to bridge that gap. And it's interesting that even in this verse, it says that he had to suffer once. I mean, this gift that he's given us, that God's given us, of Jesus dying on the cross in order to bring us to God, it's amazing that he says only died once. I don't know, if I gave you 10 seconds now, right? What did you get last Christmas? I guarantee 90% of you wouldn't be able to remember what you got last Christmas. I know I couldn't. So what we do at Christmas time, we give a present next year and the following year and the year after that. And we have to keep on giving these presents. And here we are with the present that God gave us, which is Jesus Christ's own sacrifice on the cross. And he only had to give it once because it was perfect and it was complete with nothing that could be added to it. I hate those presents that you get, you know, and it, you're really excited. Your kids are excited to play with it or you want to. And then you have to add a battery to it. And the people are so stingy, they didn't provide the batteries with the present. But you might get a present and you have to add something to it. For Christ also suffered once for sins. There's nothing we have to add to this gift from God. There's nothing you and I can add to it or do or try even harder. No batteries are needed. It's complete. What you need to do is accept his gift, that's Jesus, as the whole and the complete, making you right before God. And all you need to do is follow him, accept him. And it goes on, this is the last part that I want to say. Look at the middle sentence there, for the righteous, for the unrighteous. This is the opposite of what we've just been teaching our children, or what I was certainly taught, because Jesus didn't die for those people you think are good, upstanding members of society. He didn't die for those people who try. Well, they try really hard, you know, and they're doing their best, or the ones who kept the rules the most. He died for, it says here, biblical, it's in the Bible, for the unrighteous. For people like me and you who are the sinners. This gift doesn't depend on how naughty and nice you are or how much or naughty and nice you've been. So my message for you this morning is don't make Christmas into a false religion where somehow it depends on what you do to be accepted by God. The present is there. It's already taken place. It's complete. Have you accepted it? In fact, to make this point, I would have loved to have started a campaign. And parents, you're going to really have a go at me after saying this one. Any complaints, robertmiller.gmail.com. I would love to start the campaign. The worse you are, the bigger the present you get. Imagine finding someone who's been terrible, awful, who you would look down upon because you think they're a greater sinner and a worse person than you are, and you gave them the best present you had this year that you could give anyone. You gave it to them. I say that because that actually represents Christmas better than what we've made it, because that's actually what Jesus did for you and I. We did not deserve his gift. We do not deserve to be made right before God. And yet that's exactly why Jesus came. And you find the people who value gifts, those people who are most thankful for them, are the ones that think they don't deserve it. I can't believe you've bought me this. You spent too much on me. You shouldn't have. I've done nothing in order to deserve it. I'm saying yes. That's what I'm asking you this morning. Do you feel an undeserving? And are you thankful? Have you received it? How much do you appreciate it? How thankful are you for Christmas this reason? How thankful are you for the real reason for Christmas? So this afternoon, or this evening, maybe all I've done is ruin a song for you, Santa Claus Who Comes to Town. I hope I haven't. I'll still enjoy it. But at the very least, maybe when you hear that song, maybe you think, do you know what? That's not the true meaning of Christmas. There's nothing I can do to try harder. It's already been done for me. And just remember, Jesus is the real gift this Christmas. We're going to finish by singing one last song. Yep, you get an opportunity to stand one more time, don't worry. We're going to sing Joy to the World, because it is a real celebration of what Jesus has done for us. Please do stick around. There's going to be tea and coffee afterwards. And again, let me just thank you for your coming around, making the effort. It's been great to see you.